Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 9th. Joining us this morning is Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. Got lots of things to talk about this morning, but before we do, let's see if we can find a quote that would be appropriate. Now, all the fly that I see are flies, not flying.
Well, you can look under mosquitoes as well, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. There's nothing there. Huh. That's an interesting one, though. Flies go to lean horses.
I don't get that one.
Neither do I. But, you know, it was written in the 1500s, so.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about flying.
Flying.
Not flies. Oh, gee. So, yesterday we got the announcement that United was going to be going direct from ACV to LAX.
Yay!
Now, we had heard whispers and rumors and all kinds of stuff about that. Did it come as a shock to you?
No, because we know that the Fly Humboldt team, you know, primarily Greg Foster with Redeck, have been working behind the scenes assiduously.
What?
Very hard.
Assiduously.
Negotiating, you know, always being on the page, making sure that our airport was in there on their radar, so to speak. And it's been a long-term effort with the Fly Humboldt Coalition for the minimum revenue guarantee, but it finally, patience paid off.
Was it what you had hoped for?
Absolutely. I mean, the reason why the Visitors Bureau and the tourism industry joined in the minimum revenue guarantee was because for our business, LAX is the only connection that makes sense. It's the huge untapped market of Southern California, but even more importantly, probably, is the fact that it is another gateway to the Pacific Rim, and that is where we are seeing a huge amount of growth, and there's a lot of potential growth.
The reason I had asked that is that there had been an awful lot of discussion about another carrier, not an expansion of the existing.
Right.
As much as anything, I would suggest, is probably because of price. You get somebody else in town, all of a sudden the prices start to adjust and moderate and get closer to the expensive range instead
right.
of astronomical.
We saw that when Horizon had the LAX route.
Right, and Delta had theirs and, you know, and others throughout the decades. What were they saying about the price of this flight?
I haven't heard. I mean, I think it's a good idea to get Greg in here and explain that. But
Later in the month.
I'm just, you know, seeing what people are blogging about, and people expect it to be pretty pricey.
Yeah. Compared to driving. Yeah, no kidding. Compared to driving. With this, is it going to integrate into the existing schedule, or does this fill in some of the gaps when the airport's pretty much sitting there as a bowling alley with nobody there?
Well, with only one other flight going on now to the Sacramento connection, it's bound to be filling up some downtime, don't you think?
Well, you know, I know what they try to do. You know, when you're at the United terminal, they shoot everybody out at the same time. You know, they'll have five flights all departing within half an hour, and then all of a sudden nobody's around for an hour or so.
Well, interestingly, this is just one flight there and back, and the turnaround time is something less than half an hour. They're not going to waste any time on the ground.
Yeah, fill it up fast. Let's hit the road.
Yeah.
So the early reviews are pretty positive about this,
right? And you know, some people are very excited about. Obviously, you know, we're just thinking, okay, what do we do with this? But other players, you know, the larger businesses and you know the school. I know the film commissioner is thrilled because that really makes us a much more attractive destination to film in.
For visitors, what sense do you have? Is it going to be price dependent whether or not people fly up for the weekend and then go back down?
I don't think so because, first of all, it's such a limited capacity, at least to start with.
It's
a regional jet, I think, with 50 seats. And so.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it going to take them 3 days to get here? Wait, if it's smaller than the one that goes to SFO?
It's a regional jet, a CRJ regional jet, and the flight is something under 2 hours, but it's...
All right. It goes a little bit quicker than up and down into SFO. But it does give you the opportunity to say, hooray. And yes, we do.
Yeah, and to answer your question, I think it's very much a question of low-hanging fruit. I mean, in a market the size of Southern California with 11 million people, there are going to be folks for whom price is not an issue who want to see the Redwoods. And by golly, now they can do it very conveniently.
With 11 million people, there are advertising costs associated with reaching 11 million people instead of 1 million people or 100,000 people. Is your budget going to allow you to take advantage of this, or are you going to be having to rely on the social media stuff?
Well, it's not going to be a mass marketing approach by any means. When I say low-hanging fruit, I'm talking about targeting very, very accurately the folks, whether, you know, members of the Save the Redwoods League or the Sierra Club or something as targeted as that to make a pitch to.
So you don't expect all of a sudden all the hotels to be filled in the off season or in the shoulder season because of this?
Well, we had a flight before, and it's not what we experienced then.
Yeah, well, most I would think is going to be business.
Certainly, business.
Rather than pleasure.
Business, education, family, that's the mainstream of it.
Yeah. Well, but nonetheless, it is now a thing.
It's an opportunity.
It's there now.
And as I said, you know, filming is a huge, and also, you know, for us to be able to bring in journalists and other, you know, VIPs is a great action too.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, with the success with getting the direct flight from Arcata to Los Angeles, you guys were on the hook for a guarantee, a chunk of change, a commitment. I don't know what the proper terminology was.
It's called an MRG, a minimum revenue guarantee program.
Okay.
And this was a program that was sort of trail bossed by the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and through the Fly Humboldt Coalition. It was really just it's not like a corporation, it's an informal partnership, but it's been a very dedicated one, and it's done well over the years, and they're the ones who sort of corralled all the different contributors to this revenue fund. The tourism industry stood up for quite a lot of it. In fact, about half of the whole of the $1 million fund comes from the tourism industry.
Now, is that the Visitors Bureau, or is that the Visitors Bureau plus
a quarter others? Of it? So half of a half.
Okay.
It's directly from the Visitors Bureau, but then another chunk came from Humboldt Lodging Alliance. The City of Arcata pledged a chunk of money. City of Fortuna pledged some, or at least the Lodging Alliance part of it did. So all these pieces came together to come up with half of it, the $500,000. And then other folks like Headwaters Fund and a lot of other donors made up the other half.
So now that this will be going into effect June 1?
June 7th.
June 7th. Missing graduation. But in time for Father's Day, what are you looking at? Have those funds now been set aside in some kind of a receiver situation? Or do you still hold on to them and then just wait for the phone call that says, hey, Tony, we need X number from you for this period of time.
Right. Well, now that this is real, it's going to be hammered out. Well, yeah, we're holding on to it now, but my expectation is that they're going to be working with a local bank and set up an escrow account so that the money is very liquid and it can, you know, be used to for the purpose it was intended.
So everybody will just dump it in and then see. Now, how long is the contract for? Because that was one of the things that Penn Air had as a challenge, and some of the others, is that there was a specified contract length, and I don't know if United has one.
Right, we're waiting to hear from Greg. Now, we were working on a 2-year window for all the other potential projects that have been along over the last few years. And this, you know, this one, it's a less amount of money, so I'm not quite sure, but we'll get that nailed down and get that escrow account built. And then, you know, the MRG, I don't know if you want to hear how it works, but it's pretty straightforward. They negotiate an agreed amount of revenue, which the airline is going to capture on a monthly basis. And if they exceed that amount, great, everything's fine. If they don't hit that, then the revenue fund is used to make up to that minimum amount. So that gives them a certain amount of predictability as they make the investment, which, you know, it does cost them money up front to establish a new route, a new airline, a new staffing and equipment, all that kind of stuff. So
now, one of the things that we've heard over the years is regional airports, like Eureka Arcata is, that they, in the airline industry, have a tough time getting pilots.
Yep.
Now, we're still, our regionalness hasn't changed, but coming from LAX, does that make it easier to get the pilots because they're flying out of LAX? You know, if you were flying from, let's say, Monterey to Santa Barbara, okay, that's small, and that's small on each end. The fact that LA is involved, do you think that that's going to provide more
bigger pool
consistency with the pilots, and that won't be an issue?
Well, I would think so. I mean, Greg Foster from Redeck will be the one to better answer that, but I would expect that being the size of that market, and LAX being such a major hub for United Airlines, they're going to have a lot more resources to throw at us down there.
So how are you going to leverage this thing?
Well, obviously, we got to do that marketing to the low-hanging fruit I mentioned, whatever form that takes. We'll start by figuring out what we can spend on it. Certainly, you know, it'll be trumpeted on all of our usual public relations and social media channels. But then there's also some direct things we can do. For instance, we have been attending a show in Southern California called RTO, Regional Tour Operator, I mean, Receptive Tour Operators. Those are very important folks. They are the intermediaries between a destination like us and all the international tour operators. And the RTO show specializes in Pacific Rim Asian tour operators. So we've been reaching out to them and making some great relationships. Now we've got some real news to give to them. It's more than San Francisco, which, as you know, has got its problems. LAX is a huge gateway for a big part of the Pacific Rim. And so we're going to be able to really leverage that.
So you anticipate more international travel as part of this. Is this region ready for international travel? I know some of the challenges that the Chinese kids and the Korean kids have at St. Bernard's.
Sure.
Are we ready for it?
Well, we'll have to be ready. I don't think you're ever ready. But we're pretty good at catching up when we have to.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Talk Shop presented by Lolita Cheese Factory, Redek, and by CDH Painting. Tony, a couple of other things also have happened in the last little bit since last we got together that I guess is another feather on the good guy side.
Well, it's shaping up to be a pretty damn exciting year.
Because why?
Well, just from pure on marketing, and by that I include everything that we and other people do to put Humboldt County on the map. So just as a case in point, we heard this last week that, we knew this a long time before, but it came out last week, that in February, Sunset Magazine is going to publish a list of what they're calling 20 game-changing places to live. And believe it or not, dear old Eureka is number two on the list.
How do they define game changing?
We'll read the article, but what they talk about, they talk about Eureka's new 6-mile pedestrian trail, the waterfront trail, which is just opening up. And, you know, they talk about the wonderful thing, proximity to redwoods, Victorian homes, all that kind of thing. I understand that the printed piece is going to have a lot more information than the website currently does. But that's just another little, as you say, a feather in the hat. And as a matter of fact, this, as wonderful as it is, pales into insignificance compared to another one coming along, which I'm not at liberty to talk about. But we'll be talking about that in a month.
And that'll be coming out in springtime?
It'll be coming out in a month. So
Plan B, or step B, I guess.
Feather B,
okay. Okay.
But more than that, what's making this coming year really exciting, 2018, it is both the 100th anniversary of the Save the Redwoods League and the 50th anniversary of Redwood National Park. So this is an opportunity for a lot of outreach and publicity and promotion going on. So as an example, the Save the Redwoods League and State Parks are teaming up for a special promotion. Every second Saturday this month, free admission to all the Redwood Parks.
Aren't they free now?
Well, in Humboldt County, they mostly are. There's a if you go to Fern Canyon.
They're charging Fern Canyon now?
There's that little kiosk for
Gold Bluffs Beach.
Yeah, Gold Bluffs Beach.
Yeah, okay.
But more to the point, they're putting so much muscle into promoting visitation of the Redwood Parks. So that's a rising tide that'll really float our boat.
Really, they are? The feds are?
No, Save the Redwoods League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the feds still kind of have that. Yeah.
Right. But
thank you very much for driving through. Don't stop too long.
Well, but luckily our parks are also managed by the state of California, who have a much more visitation policy.
So are we going to see any national efforts done by the park system to invite people to recognize this, to get attendance? I think it's pretty well known that Redwood National is one of the least attended national parks in
sure.
the country.
Well, by the state park system, you know, they are still a state agency, i.e. cash-strapped. They still have that huge deferred maintenance backlog issue, so they don't really have the resources to punch it out. So they really rely upon destination marketing organizations like ourselves.
What about the California Tourism?
California Tourism is on board with this. They do a lot. In fact, they're the ones who do some of the big things that we can't do ourselves, like bring in groups of international tour operators and journalists.
Are they going to be highlighting Redwood National, or is that just something else? Okay, great. There's a year there, 50 years, but it's still Disneyland. It's still the Golden Gate. It's still Napa.
They're very conscious about spreading the love around the rest of the state. They have a number of programs where they invite us to submit content, and so of course we're telling them, yay! It's the it's the 50th anniversary of Rebbe National Park. And
I'm cautiously optimistic we're going to get a little something.
Yes.
Play off the national park.
We're going to get some loving. And, you know, we've got our contacts at Visit California, so we're working them.
The fact that Save the Redwoods League is 100 years old, without getting into the political arena on that one, is there an active chapter even in the county?
Gosh. It's based in San Francisco.
Right.
I'm not even sure they have chapters per se. They certainly have membership that's spread around the country.
For sure.
But mostly focused in Northern California. So it's a good list for us to market to.
Yeah. I've never seen a storefront or anything right along those lines other than Hartsook with the roping off of the parking lot.
Right.
I don't know what their presence is.
Well, it's interesting. You know, up till recently, I mean, they were very much focused on the preservation side of their mission, you know, to raise funds, to purchase lands, to get them out of timber production. But we're seeing more and more of their effort and interest put into in public enjoyment and the science of the redwood forest and access and facilities and all that kind of stuff too. So they're coming along very nicely that way too.
Now that we got it, let's do something with it.
Exactly.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop, final segment with Tony Smithers. So 2018's looking good. Is it too early to start thinking about preseason bookings and tracking that stuff? Is that something that is done on a, I guess, more of on a scientific basis, or is that more of a seat of the pants kind of an approach?
Oh, if you talk to any hotelier, it is not seat of the pants at all. It's very scientific. But it's also fairly proprietary, and they don't really want to share too much about what their bookings are looking like. But I've heard a few hints that it's not bad.
Really? They don't see their properties as unique? You know, somebody will go from mine to yours? I mean, yeah. It's kind of intriguing that at least some general information wouldn't be shared either into the lodging association some reporting entity that would just say, yeah, we're trending. We're up 7.2% in advanced bookings.
Yeah,
that's all you look.
I could survey them, and I would get some response. I would get some response, it probably a lot of it's just habit.
What is going on with the Airbnb stuff? Is that still taking a little bit of flesh?
It's taking more and more flesh all the time. I mean, no one's really even calculated yet how much of a hit they're taking, and the fact is, if you factor them in. The growth that our tourism industry has experienced is even more spectacular, because even though we've grown, room inventory and lodging revenues by a very respectable percentage, that a lot of that doesn't capture Airbnb, except for, well, the county unincorporated now has a direct collection agreement with Airbnb, yeah.
What about within the city jurisdiction?
They don't have that yet. So, and the cities aren't fools. So they're looking. They're going on Airbnb and trying to figure out who's renting rooms out. So, I would say there's.
I would think it would be a non-conforming use, and that there could be some financial negative downsides.
That's a whole other issue, which, you know, I know
the punitive side rather than the positive.
Yeah, I know
side.
Some cities are looking at the whole zoning issue of it, and, you know, we only have to look at the poster child of Trinidad to see where it's become a real community issue. How much of the housing inventory is dedicated to tourism?
Yeah, it's tough to have a town if nobody's there,
right? Especially
so there is some movement there, but it's not as aggressive as what some may think in the progression of this.
Well, I mean, I've talked to the folks in Eureka, and they're certainly aware of it. They want to build a system that's easy for people to work with. They're giving folks a chance to come into compliance before they lower the boom.
Does this sound parallel to something else that happened last year?
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll see if we get code enforcement coming in from the state on this one too, huh? Yeah. Too much fun. Too much fun. Well, it sounds like it's been a good month for you.
It's so far so for good. We're off to Sacramento next week to International Sportsman's Exposition. We will share Humboldt County fishing and other outdoor things with about 30,000 people.
Good. Just stay away from tree climbing.
Very good.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.